your window seat. Tell somebody, he's preparing me. He's preparing me. Oscar Wilde. Many of you may not be familiar with that name, but Oscar Wilde was an Irish poet, an author, and a playwright whose popularity was most prevalent in the latter part of the 1800s. While many of us may not be familiar with his name or even his works, believe it or not, it was actually a quote that I had heard early on in my life, which was brought back to my remembrance in preparation for this message. Can I share it with you real quick? It was Oscar Wilde who said that if a thing is worth doing, it is worth doing well. If it's worth having, it is worth waiting for. If it is worth attaining, it is worth fighting for. It was Oscar Wilde who said that if it is worth experiencing, then it ought to be worth putting aside time for. Brothers and sisters, if there ever was a time when we needed that truth, I can't think of a more critical time and season than the one we are in right now. Why? Because when I observe this generation of young people, when I observe the ones who are graduating from high school and stepping into higher education, the fact that they are now grown is scary in and of itself. I wonder if anybody knows what I'm talking about here. But why is it scary, Pastor? Because when you consider the fact that in 4 years or less, or in some cases more, these young people will enter into the workforce. They will be our children's teachers. They will be police officers. They will be political leaders. They will be doctors. They will be lawyers. They will be your caregivers at the nursing home. The world will be in their hands. You ain't scared yet? The reason, brothers, that that's problematic is because we are dealing with a generation, and I'm in that generation, we are dealing with a generation whose work ethic leaves much to be desired. In other words, many of us are addicted to wealth, but we are allergic to work. I wish I had some help in here. We want the symbols of success. We want the money. We want the houses. We want the cars. We want the fame. We want the positions. But yet, when it comes to laboring for those things, when it comes to working for those things, we are addicted to wealth, but we get a cold and allergic when it's time to put the work in. Some of our kids too lazy to walk to the mailbox. Can't send them down the driveway. Can't send them to put the trash out. Too lazy to do any little menial task because we want all of the benefits but none of the responsibility. And so Oscar Wilde, though he was not a preacher, there's a whole lot of theology in the words that he spoke, because anything worth having is worth working for. Yeah, if you set your mind to do something, I don't care what it is, you don't do anything halfway. You ought to put in your best energy, put in your best effort. Whatever you do, you always do it for the glory of God, representing yourself, your family, and those that have been praying for you. And so that's kind of where I want to hitch my little wagon this morning. Because in order to make sure that this next generation survives, at every age and every stage, we got to get our house in order. I feel like preaching this morning. I've come to challenge our children to get their house in order. I've come to push us as parents to get our house in order. I want to confront you on campus. I want to provoke you who are sitting in the pew. I know you got dreams. I know you have some things that you want for yourself. But God told me to announce it here. Point number one, you cannot have elevation without preparation. Tell somebody, you can't have elevation without preparation. Listen, if you please. Timothy is a young man who is being trained to be a church leader. The Apostle Paul has traveled all over the land, all over the nation, all over to different countries and major cities, preaching the gospel and building churches. But yet, in the midst of all that, he was limited by time, he was limited by circumstance, which means he needed some help. Stick a pin in that. I'll come back to it in a few minutes. Because Timothy, if you will, is Paul's new protege. The elders had laid hands on Timothy. They had ordained Timothy into the ministry. But yet, in spite of his elevation, he still needed to go through some preparation. In other words, God don't just throw you into something that he knows that you are not ready for. Even though you may be anointed and gifted, you still have to wait on the release that God has set for you. Just like David, that was anointed the king of Israel at an early age. He was a teenager, but it wasn't until years later that he would actually take the throne. Somebody say preparation. Preparation. Just like Jesus, that was chosen and ordained from the very foundation of the world, it was not until the age of 30 that his ministry would actually begin. So again, I say, you cannot have elevation without some preparation, because the work that Timothy was about to go into, what you got to understand first and foremost is that the task is bigger than you. Timothy had to understand that he couldn't jump into this thing haphazardly, because souls were at stake. This thing was bigger than him. I don't mean in terms of it being too hard, because there's nothing too hard for God if his spirit is working in you, but rather the work that he was being assigned to. What he needed to know up front is that this thing is not about you. Can I hurry to tell some person that's dying to be successful? This thing is bigger than your name getting out there. I wish I had 5 or 6 more witnesses here. God said this thing is bigger than you being noticed. It's bigger than you raising your profile. It's bigger than getting followers. It's bigger than adding friends. It's bigger than expanding your resume. God does not elevate you for you, but rather he elevates you and he blesses you so you can be a blessing. The only reason God opened the door is so you can stick your leg in it and hold it open for somebody else before you walk away. The only reason God gives you an opportunity is so that you can see how hard it was for you to come up and appreciate somebody else's journey and help them to come up as well. It's not about you. And so in order to prepare Timothy for his assignment, this is point number 2A, he first had to learn how to appreciate his ancestors. Tell somebody, wake your neighbor up and tell them, appreciate your ancestors, appreciate your ancestors. There was a wise person who once said, you'll never know where you're going till you appreciate where you've been. You got to appreciate your ancestors. And you can see that if you go back in context in verses 1 and 2. Paul says, therefore, my son, be strong in the grace that is in Jesus Christ. And the things that thou hast heard of me and many witnesses, the same commit now to faithful men who shall be able to teach others also. Don't miss this. Paul is making reference to Timothy's ancestors. Remember in chapter 1 when he said, when I think about how far you've come and I think about the faith that was in your mother and in your grandmother, when I think about how Lois and Eunice raised you, yeah, you were raised by a single parent household, those women raised you, but yet God favored you and now we're laying our hands on you. You got to remember, you didn't get here on your own.
I need somebody who can look back over your own life's journey and thank God for Lois and Eunice. Thank God for Mama and Big Mama. And thank God for those old saints. Thank God for Granddaddy and Uncle Joe. Thank God for those people that came before you. You did not get here on your own, and you got to appreciate your ancestors.
Hear me, young people. Do you not know how many folks suffered for you to be here today? Wish I had some help. Don't you know how many people bled for you to have the opportunity that you had today? HBCU started more than 200 years ago. And their roots are deeper than just our generation. These were the builders. I'm trying to say something without saying it, but I think I'm going to have to go ahead and say it here. These people were able to build bridges with less resources than we have today. Can I say it how I really want to say it? And please don't get offended when I say it. Pray for me. It's funny how so-called Negroes and colored folk did more with less. But us black folk and African Americans, we fancy, but we seem to be doing less with more. You got all the opportunities, all the resources, all the freedoms, but yet your ancestors seem to get it done with less than what you had. Grandmama and them might not have had a whole lot, but what they had, God gave them. Sometimes their English was broken. Sometimes they were not as polished as we are today, but they had something in them. I'm going to talk about it in a few weeks. They had the spirit of go-get-it-ness when nothing could stop them from achieving their goals. You won't give me no crap. That's all right. I'll do what I got to do to make this thing happen. You ain't got to give me no bricks. I'll build my own bricks because I know masonry and I can build my own university. They didn't wait on nobody to drop nothing in there. And the government ain't never helped Negro. And so point 2A says, appreciate your ancestors. But this is the point that blessed me, and I never saw it until the other day. Point 2B says that you got to understand the concept of leading and breeding. Hear me now. Good leaders are also good breeders. He says, the things that you heard and saw me do, you need to commit those same things to other faithful men, watch it now, who shall be able to teach others also. The problem we have in today's world is that nobody's thinking about life after the leader. In other words, it's not just your purpose in life that you need to be thinking about. It's not just building your brand and getting you some money and getting you to ride off into the sunset. No, you got to be a leader, but you also got to be a breeder and teach other folk how to carry on the tradition. That's why the Bible says that the older women ought to mentor the younger women, that the seasoned wise men ought to help the younger men, because you got to carry on beyond just your generation. There will be a church after I preach your funeral. There will be a church after we bury you on the south side. But what kind of church will we have left if we're doing all the leading but none of the breeding? Like Moses, you ain't gonna live forever. So you need to lead and breed Joshua. Am I making sense here? Just like Elijah, you gotta breed Elisha. Just like David, you gotta have sense enough to breed a Solomon. Just like Jesus walked the world for 33 years, he had enough sense to surround himself with 12 men. 11 of them worked out for the good, and he had to breed other servants. And so here Paul is breeding another leader. And he's telling Timothy, the same things that you saw me do and heard me do, you got to do it and then teach others to do it. It's not just leading, it's breeding. Jacob Chapel has experienced phenomenal growth in the last 10 years, but understand, this thing did not start with me. I got sense enough to know that I'm standing on 8 great men's shoulders, and it behooves me to prepare the way for the next pastor that's coming 90 years from now. Can I stay a little bit of while? I'm just trying to get some help in here. I'm breeding leaders right now. All these fellas playing in the band, I'm breeding them to be leaders. The folk who never had positions in leadership, I'm breeding them to do something in the house of the Lord. New people are stepping up. A new generation is taking the reins. If I'm going to be here for the next 35 years, I got to breed my next generation of leaders. I got to breed my next chairman. I got to breed my next director. I got to breed my next budget. My next leaders, my next preachers, my next officers. I'm not just leading you, I'm breeding you. Listen, you can't just roll out of the bed and do this. Some of y'all take my youth for granted. You think I'm young and I just roll out of bed one day and just decide to be a preacher. No, somebody breeded me. Put something in me to show me how this thing is done. You got to be prepared for your purpose. You got to be developed for your destiny. You want to be great? Well, you need to be prepared for that. Because greatness comes with a cost. You want to lead? You want to change your community? You got to get your house in order, because the worst thing you can do for a person is give them a position prematurely. I wish I had somebody pray with me. The worst thing you can do is give a 15-year-old car keys. Too much responsibility. Too much metal and glass and iron and electronic. That's too much responsibility for a novice to have. Which is why point number 3 says, it's not enough to be eager. You got to be equipped. It ain't enough to be eager. You got to be equipped. I'm thinking back to my college days. My days at dear old Morris Brown. And I can remember as a young man how eager I was, how ambitious I was, and all the things that I want to accomplish. There were some things that I wanted to do, and you couldn't tell me I wasn't going to do. Because I was eager. I was ambitious. I knew for a long time. I didn't know quite what I was going to be when I grew up, but I knew I was going to be something. But what I learned from my father, and what I learned from listening to my 83-year-old pastor, is that you can't be propelled until you are prepared. Yeah. See, I'm looking out at a crowd today, and they'll be here again at 11 o'clock. I'm looking out at a crowd, and I see something very familiar. I see your hopes. I see your dreams. I see a generation of dreamers. I see a congregation full of movers and shakers. I see your aspirations. I see what you want to do. I see where you're trying to go. But the message God told me to deliver to you today is this. You got to be prepared for the places you're trying to go. See, when I say he's preparing me, what I'm saying is God is taking you through a process. What if you went to bed tonight and you woke up 5 years from now? You wake up in your purpose. You wake up in whatever your next level is supposed to be. You slept for 5 years. You know why you wouldn't know what to do? Because you missed the process. You miss the daily things that God want to do in your life. You don't just arrive at destiny. You don't get here freshman year and start preparing for graduation on day one. No, you got to go through some things. You got to go through some ups and some downs, some trials and some tribulations. You got to be prepared for what God is doing in your life. I want to prosper. I want to be successful. But God says you got to go through the process. Anything you want in life, just like Oscar Wilde said in the beginning, you gotta work for it. How's your work ethic? I readily admit, I don't like getting up early in the morning. I just believe God ought to make the day start like 10 o'clock sometime. In fact, about it, I believe God should eliminate Mondays from the whole calendar in the whole world. I just think you should go from Sunday to Tuesday. I think Mondays are of the devil. But how's your work ethic? Because when I look at the next 10 verses, and I'm zipping through. I'm going to trust you to read this on your own. You got to read somewhere from verse 3 all the way down to verse number 13 or 14. When I look at those 10 verses, I not only see the preparation of a future leader, but what I also see, and this is what you need to take note of, is how on some level, every servant is going to have to suffer. Whatever you're thinking about doing out there, understand, every servant has got to suffer. Verse number 3, this is the contemporary English version. Paul says, as a good soldier of Jesus Christ, you got to endure your share of suffering. Soldiers on duty don't work at outside jobs. They try only to please their commanding officer. He says no one wins an athletic contest without obeying the rules. Farmers who go to work and they work hard, they are the first ones to eat and what grows out of their field. If you keep in mind what I told you, Paul said, the Lord will help you understand completely. Keep your mind on Jesus, because Jesus was from the family of David, but yet he had to die and be raised from the dead. Just like my good news says, and verse 9 says, because of me preaching this message, Paul says, I was locked up in jail. They treated me like a criminal. But the good news is that the message isn't locked up. Even if the messenger is, I want you to know that God's people are special. God's people are set aside for a purpose. They will be given eternal glory because they belong to the Lord. This is a true message. Verse 11, if we died with Christ, we will live with him. And if we don't give up, we will rule with him. If we deny that we know him, he will deny that he knows us. If we are not faithful, he will still be faithful, because Christ cannot deny who he is. Point number 4, we almost ready to roll out. You cannot have the glory without the grind. Talking about a good soldier, you cannot have the glory, because see, we got some soldiers in the army who only want to march in the parade. See, these soldiers that be marching on Thanksgiving at the Macy's Thanksgiving Day Parade, that's a ceremonial march. But the real work is not in the parade, it's out there on the battlefield. That's why you better be careful what you say on a Sunday morning. I'm on the battlefield for my Lord. God said, we'll see. Because your life can be a battlefield sometimes. That campus can be a battlefield sometimes. That office, that work environment, that family, that community can be a battleground sometimes. You cannot have the glory unless you're willing to grind for it. I need to talk to the 100 people who are currently in your grind season. Now, if you've been delivered from the grind, then God bless you. We'll shout for you in 5 minutes. But for the rest of us that are still on our way somewhere, the rest of us that are still grinding it out every day, nobody told me that the road would be easy. But I just don't believe that the Lord brought me this far to lead. Tell somebody, he's preparing me, he's preparing me. Can you give me 5 minutes here? Because there are those of us who have been called to make a difference in the world. I feel my helper coming here. And anytime you want to make a difference in the world, it will always come at a great cost. If you're on the front line, it's going to cost you something. Listen, I know your history books make things look real glamorous, but there was nothing pretty about the struggle that our people have gone through. American history, African American history, Latin American history. I'm here to tell you, no matter what age, stage, level, color, or creed you are, there has always been a struggle for you to get where you are today. Wasn't nothing pretty about the American Revolution.
They glamorize it in your history books, but folk bled and died for this country to get away from English rule. Civil rights movement wasn't pretty. These people suffered. Fact about it, y'all know John Lewis, Congressman Representative John Lewis, y'all know him. John Lewis been getting elected for 40 years telling the same story. We walked across that Edmund Pettus Bridge. We got hit upside the head with them Billy Club, got hit upside the head with the rocks, and they sick the dog on the. John Lewis been winning elections every cycle telling that same story. I don't know what he's done up there in Georgia, but I know he keep getting elected because he's telling the story about what he went through. It wasn't pretty. Understand, you have to endure hardship. Think about HBCUs now, in particular. Our prosperity came at a steep price. There was nothing glamorous about being black in the 1800s. Hung from trees, separated from your children, brothers degraded, sisters disrespected. You were lynched and burned for learning how to read. They endured all that hardship so we could have a better life. If you want to do anything that's worth anything, you better prepare for the hate. On some level, you better prepare for the hate, and you better prepare for the hurdles, economic hurdles, sexism and classism, inferior curriculums in our community, serving and underserving our children, outdated practices and methodologies that should have been gotten rid of 15 years ago, political barriers, people playing politics with your grandmama's health care, people playing politics with my child's education, your granddaddy dealt with Jim Crow, but we got to deal with James Crow III. And let me tell you, it ain't a color issue no more. The only color we wrestling with right now is green. Because whoever controls the wealth controls the community. Whoever controls the dollars and where they are assigned, that's why you need to pay attention to politics. That's why you can't let these folk stroll up in your church every 4 years trying to get your vote, and we ain't seen you since the last time we voted for you. That's why you gotta be aware, not just of what Obama is doing, but what is your mayor doing? What are your senators doing? What are your congressmen and women doing? What are all of your elected officials doing? Because they control the money. I gotta get you out of here. But I need these new Christians to understand the fight that we're in. This is not a matter of black and white, male or female. No, no, no. This is a struggle between right and wrong. This is a struggle between good and evil. Are you willing to be like Paul and be persecuted for preaching the truth? Are you willing to be ostracized for your stance on moral issues? Are you willing to be in the minority when it comes to some of these social issues? God said in order for us to be powerful, it may require us to be unpopular. I need somebody to help me here. I don't know if you know it or not, but this is the level where friends start falling off. I'm gonna preach if you push me. This is the level where your circle gets smaller. This is the level where resources don't pour in so easily. This is the level that you gotta grind a little bit more, where you gotta take inventory and keep only what is necessary and what is needful for your journey. You can't pack up your whole house when you're on your way somewhere. You gotta pack up only the essential things. God said you may have to leave some things behind in order to get done what it is I'm calling you to. This is the level where faith make conflict with your family. This is the level where folk may stop speaking to you because you're following Jesus. This is the level where Christ may conflict with your culture. Find somebody and tell them he's preparing me.
I'm trying to close my little message, but y'all know I ain't through. Because there's some levels we're trying to get to. You're so anxious to get there. But I've been trying to get to verse number 15, and I thank you for your patience, because your last point is this. You got to have some learning to go with your burning. Somebody ought to help me preach here. I said you got to have some learning to go with your burning. Verse 15 says, study. That's what I've been trying to get to.
to show yourself approved, a workman that needed not be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. What bothers me is a person who claims to want to be somebody, got the energy to be somebody, but in spite of your energy, you comfortable being ignorant. You may as well go ahead and help me here. It's not enough to have the desire to do something. That's the burning. But eventually, your desire has got to be put with some energy, and you got to be informed. That's the learning. I don't understand how you can claim to want to be better, but don't put yourself in a space where you can be better. Like you trying to get somewhere at a certain age, you don't hang around dumb acting folk. So somebody ought to help me here. At some point, you ain't got time to be worried about nobody's timeline. You ain't got time to be worried about nobody's random thoughts. Obviously, these folk ain't got nothing else going on in their life. If you tweet every 5 minutes, every random, obviously, you ain't got nothing going on in your life. I can't be around that kind of folk. Did you see what such and such? No, I didn't see it because I ain't out there. I ain't reading your timeline for what? I won't know you said it unless you said it to me because I don't read, I don't follow you. I ain't got that kind of time. How can you say you want to be stronger but you don't put yourself in an environment that can grow you? You want to be a better Christian, but you don't like to read. See how I slipped that in on you there? Don't want to read the Bible. Don't want to read nothing related to the Bible. Can't recommend nothing for you to read because you're moaning about $12, but somehow you can find a way to read everything else. It's not enough for me to know what I'm talking about. You sitting out there in that pew, don't be saying amen in ignorance. Abraham built the ark in 40 days. Amen, Reverend. Can you please tell your neighbor who built the ark so we can move on, please? Moses fed the children of Israel with 2 fish and 5 loaves of bread. Haman said, Master. Tell them Jesus did that. Jesus did that. Jesus did that. There is nothing cool about a church full of people who are satisfied with the preacher being the smartest one in the room. Paul says, you got to study, young man, to show yourself approved, not just in the sanctuary, but everywhere you go. Do you watch the news? Do you read the paper? Do you study issues that we're facing in the world? Do you know where Benghazi is? Because they keep talking about it. Do you know what's going on in Iran right now? Are you aware of what Russia and China are even up to? Maybe that's too far away. Do you know what's going on in Leon County? You gotta study. You gotta prepare yourself for what God is doing. How can you sit on campus for 6.5 years, turned up at graduation, and still don't know nothing? That's why I'm scared. I'm telling you, future teachers graduating with a C average. I'm scared of that. Doctors and lawyers, I don't want my doctor to get a C in medical school, because that means I got a 30% chance of dying on the operating table. Well, I think you're far-sighted. I'm not sure. You might be near-sighted, but just read them letters right there. How many fingers am I holding up? I don't need no bootleg eye doctor. These are our future social workers, future counselors, future political science people. Ain't no shit to being anointed if you're still ignorant. If you can read Facebook, you ought to be able to read the faith book. I wish I had some help in here. If you can read Twitter, you ought to read 2 Timothy every now and then. Get your lesson like my grandmama said. Get your mind right. You didn't come all the way to school to be partying and sleeping through classes. Where are the people that's on your way somewhere? I said, where are the people that's on your way somewhere? Where is the next generation of movers and shakers? Where are the seasoned folk that's ready to pass this day on and breed the next generation? You got to study your playbook before you get in the game. I'm ready to close my little message now, fellas, but understand this. I need a generation that's willing to take the challenge. I need generation next to help me. These are the folk that are not quite in the game yet, but I'm studying the playbook for when I do get in. Is there 100 people in here that's at that level right now? Don't be ashamed to admit what level you at. I'm studying the mistakes that my parents made. And I thank God my parents are in a season right now where they're being real honest with me about the mistakes that they made. I need to know why the marriage didn't work out. I need to know why certain things happened. I need to know why certain mistakes were made in the previous generation. So that when I get off the bench, when I get in the game, I don't mess up the same way mom and dad. I'm watching the man. I'm watching the woman that's in the driver's seat right now. Some people will teach you what to do, and some folk will teach you what not to do. But all of it will work for your good. Thank you, choir. If you study and apply the wisdom that God gives to you. I'm not the CEO right now, but I'm studying up on what it takes to get there. I wish I had help to close here. I gotta get my money right in the meantime. I gotta get my mind right in the meantime. Get ready with your skill set in order. Get my team ready 5 years in advance. If you're not my friend when I'm struggling, don't look for me when I'm blowing up. I wish I had some help in here. If I'm the stuff that God has prepared for me, you can't be on my team if you hated on my dreams. I wish you would wake your neighbor up here and tell them you can't be on my team if you hated on my dreams. I don't look like much now, but tell somebody he's preparing me. I'm preparing to be a husband. You're preparing to be a wife. And you're not going to stop until you get what God has for you. Ain't got time for no randoms. Taking up space in your life. Ain't got time to be following people that ain't going nowhere. I'm on my way to being a leader. I'm on my way to being an innovator. I'm trying to change the game up in here. But God is going to use me when his time comes. The next big idea is going to come from one of y'all. The next hit song is going to come from one of y'all. The next innovative idea is going to come from right here in this room. But I need somebody that can see God's hand over here. Tell somebody he's preparing me. Have I got a witness here? For I heard 12-year-old Jesus roll up in the temple talking to doctors and lawyers. And when his mom and daddy found him, they said, boy, we've been looking for you. Jesus said, well, I know y'all were looking for me. I ain't got time for Xbox. I ain't got time for PlayStation. Jesus said, I must be about my father's business. Have I got a witness here? He said, I'm on the bench, but he's preparing me. I know I'm young, but he's preparing me. I know I'm inexperienced. I know I'm wet behind the ears. Breath still smell like Similac, but he's preparing me. Shake your neighbor's hand. Tell your neighbor, nobody knows me yet. Nobody celebrates me yet. Nobody sees what I'm doing yet. But eyes have not seen, ears have not heard what the Lord has for his people. Can anything good come out of FAMU? Can anything good come out of the South Side? Good.
Let me see how you treat your mama, and then we can kind of talk, because junior year, you know.